listening to Fresh Take.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
You're listening to the Fresh Take Network.
You wonderful, wonderful F1 fans out there, not just only here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, the home of F101, but around the world. If you're hearing my voice, that can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. And as always, we're going to start off this episode with a hot topic. So this is everything you need to know in the world of F1, starting off with some really, really exciting potential news. We're like one confirmation away for this actually being real, but there's several websites out there, several authors, and several F1 pundits that have pretty much confirmed that Cadillac F1 has officially signed their first driver for the 2026 season. It is Checo Perez. Now, there are no official details of what the contract length is, how much money he's been making. We've heard a little bit from from Checo Perez's like representatives. They said no comment on the contract as of yet, which means the details will be coming out fairly soon. I'm happy that Checo found a brand new place to drive for 2026 and beyond. I think it's a fairly good signing for Cadillac. I mean, they're starting from the bottom, so Checo is probably a good place to choose. He's got the experience. He's got the pedigree potentially to be a really, really good F1 driver in Cadillac. And now just the question remains who their second driver will be. Next up, for this race in Bahrain, the Ferrari's got a brand new floor. It did not take them long to start whipping out the new aerodynamic upgrades. Will this help them? Will this slow them down? Will this give Lewis Hamilton a little bit more stability that he's been looking for, especially in these slow corners? Only one way to find out, and that will be this weekend, as well as Red Bull. They've brought out new engine covers for this weekend. All of a sudden, you see the new fin cutouts on the engine near the back of the engine. If I say engine one more time, everybody gets pizza. We're going to see if this aerodynamic cutout actually helps them. Last weekend, it was really, really good for them. They did have a really fast car. Max really had to, pull out his magic like he normally does. We'll see if these new upgrades help at all. And last but not least, rumors are still swirling that Max Verstappen is looking to go somewhere else at the end of the 2025 season. Helmut Marko has pretty much confirmed that they're in the process of losing Max Verstappen. Max has gone to talk to Mercedes a couple times. There's rumors that he's been in talk with Aston Martin as well. I mean, who are they going to get rid of in Aston Martin? They're not going to get rid of Lance Stroll. I mean, Daddy would never do that to his poor, adorable, useless child. No, they'll probably sacrifice Fernando Alonso for absolutely no reason. And then that begs the question, if Max Verstappen does leave for the 2026 season, who is Red Bull going to try to get or going to promote for that number one seat? I think they have to go out and they have to pick somebody up to bring to the team. Their education program, their rookie program is officially out of options and out of steam, at least for the next couple of seasons, especially with the new regulations coming in. So if this rumor is have any kind of length to it whatsoever, Red Bull is pretty much screwed for the next couple of years. That wraps it up. It's everything everybody needs to know in the world of F1. Let's get right into qualifying for round four for the Bahrain Grand Prix. And qualifying this weekend was a tale of two races. Last weekend, everybody was super fast. Last weekend, all of the rookies were up in the top 10 almost. The usual suspects were up in the top 5, up in the top 3, top 4. Everybody was where they needed to be. Opposed for a couple of guys that really didn't deserve to be booted. Fernando Alonso still with no points. Ollie Bearman, not exactly a wonderful qualifying. Question marks about Lando Norris's speed. George Russell not quite qualifying where he needed to be. Kind of the usual stories. Well, this weekend, it was definitely the opposite of that, mainly because almost every single rookie was out in Q1. Red Bull barely made it out of Q1. Liam Lawson ends up with a ton of miscalculations and a bunch of malfunctions on his car in Q1. So let's just get right into it. Right off the bat from Red Bull, whatever traction they did have last week in Japan, they obviously did not bring the same kind of setup or the same kind of luck with them to Bahrain. Horrible, horrible understeer, with which any kind of correction led into a horrible amount of oversteer, no traction, really bad cornering. Max Verstappen pretty much left wondering what is happening to this car. At one point, with a minute six left in qualifying one, both Red Bulls were 19th and 20th respectively. Like, Max was last in Q1 because they could not get any kind of momentum, could not get any type of traction. Both him and Lawson, a ton of track limit violations. There was a couple corners that were catching everybody out, and it was just, it was not a good weekend. Definitely not a good weekend for Red Bull. Liam Lawson had a bunch of DRS issues, would close without his, like, he would open DRS and all of a sudden it would just close by itself and then it wouldn't open again. So they were having issues with his car as well. It was just a much ado about nothing Q1. Red Bull does end up making it out just by the skin of their teeth. They qualify, I think it was 11th and 6th respectively. So, like, they made it with, you know, some space, but they should have been a lot higher than where they ended up. And on the topic of speed and traction, it just looked like every single rookie out there was a first-time rookie. It's kind of like Bahrain put them in this position that they should be in as rookies in most of their first year in F1. Bortoleto, Ollie Bearman, Liam Lawson, like, all these guys were out in the first Q1. Antonelli did end up making it into Q3. He didn't look nearly as fast as he did last weekend in Japan. He didn't look nearly as fast as he was in Australia. So I don't know what they did to the setup, what they tried to overtweak, what they tried to overcomplicate, or maybe it was just the track, the conditions, and the tires, or it was just a combination of everything adding up. It's just these rookies definitely looked like rookies this weekend. Let's get into your bottom five out of Q1. In 20th was Ollie Bearman. 19th was Lance Stroll. Good job. 18th was Bortoleto. 17th was Liam Lawson. 16th was Alex Albon. Now, controversy with Alex Albon getting kicked out in Q1. Nico Hülkenberg, who ends up out qualifying Alex Albon by like 1/100th of a second, which, I mean, fantastic. That's great. But there was some issues with the system that was on track. Nico Hülkenberg did go four tires off. He should have gotten a track time violation, should have had that lap 100% eliminated. The system did not pick it up. By the time the stewards reviewed it from the petition from Williams, it was too late. Q2 had already started. So it's kind of like, think of it in hockey. If there's some kind of protest, you need to put it in before the whistle blows for the next play, for the next face-off. Same with Formula One. If there's any kind of issue that is in any of the qualifying sessions, it has to be dealt with before the next qualifying session starts. And there's not a lot of time between Q1 and 2 and 2 and 3. Q3 being the exception rather than the rule, because generally you have like a day and a half to get things looked at. If there's any kind of petitions, you've got that time to go back. But as soon as the next qualifying session starts, whatever was listed as whoever was out, whoever made it, it stays. There's no time to reverse the ruling. There's no time to make subsequent changes. And it's just an unfortunate situation for Alex Albon. He was really flying. He was in top condition. Again, getting caught out with a little bit of bad traction, but overall, he definitely should have been out of Q1. Moving right into Q2, the only issue that happened in the entire qualifying, thank you very much, Esteban Ocon, ends up crashing his Haas into the wall. It was one of those, he had a little bit of too much speed going into the corner, he lost a little bit of control, and now the trajectory that his car was on, he ends up hitting those little speed bumps along the side, the corner curbs, and it just kind of put his car even more out of control. By the time the back tires touched, it spun him off into the grass, which ended up into the wall. Obviously, red flag. Where he had crashed was kind of opportunistic just because the marshals were right there. He was totally okay. The car was not totally demolished. The back end needed some reworking, but he was okay. They were able to get things up and going in less than 10 minutes, which was fantastic just for where he had crashed. All of a sudden, green lights are on. Everyone's going again. Pierre Gasly. I have not seen him after this crash. I have not seen Pierre Gasly drive like this in many a season. He's driving as if he knows his contract is up for grabs. Almost feels like he's got that internal feeling like, hey, this could be my last season where I am. They may replace me with somebody and I may not have a seat next season. Super fast, really consistent. The car was on an absolute wire. No missteps whatsoever. It seemed like he had a ton of traction out there as well through Q1, Q2, and Q3. So Pierre Gasly is definitely going to be one of those drivers that you want to look out for this weekend, 100%. Another person to look out for this season, one of the rookies, Isaac Hadjar, looking really, really consistent, looking one to be one of those quiet rookies that just ends up getting points, getting into Q2, hopefully getting into Q3, but more of the race day performance that you're looking for. Isaac was really, really fast. He out-qualifies Hülkenberg, Alonso, and Ocon just because Ocon crashed, but I still think he would have outscored or out-qualified Ocon anyways. The only thing, and this is not on Isaac at all, the only thing is the traction ability on that racing bull this weekend definitely 100% let him down. He was fast. He just wasn't fast enough to make it out of Q2. Definitely a rookie to keep an eye out for by the time the season is done. I do think that it's going to be Antonelli and Hadjar for the rookie of the season, essentially. Looking at the bottom five, going from 15th to 11th, we've got Esteban Ocon in 15th, Fernando Alonso in 14th, Nico Hülkenberg in 13th, Isaac Hadjar in 12th, and Jack Doohan in 11th. And with that being said, there's only one more qualifying left. It is Q3. Let's get right into it. Right off the bat, you're going to notice the track is rubbered in. Everyone's going as fast as they should be in Q3, except for Red Bull again. The car is not responding this weekend. The car is definitely not hooked up. Max is complaining about the brakes. Yuki's complaining about the brakes. They've got no straight line speed. Their cornering is absolutely trash. I don't know what Red Bull has done since Adrian Newey left, but essentially they have set themselves back probably half a season at this rate. If they keep going in this direction, they're absolutely going to foobar and fuck up this season before the halfway mark. Max is not going to get his next world championship. McLaren is just going to run away with it at this point. Like I said, they need to go back to what they learned from Adrian. And it's not that Adrian was the be-all and end-all of Red Bull aerodynamic efficiency, but you had to have learned something from him. Like, God damn it, you guys are just getting slower and slower and slower, more inconsistent. The only thing that's not an issue on that car at this point is the engine. And I'm sure at this point, Red Bull will be able to fuck that up sometime sooner rather than later. But it wasn't just Red Bull having track time difficulties. Overall, compared to last year, every car, even for their fastest time, was still a 3 second off the race pace of last year in 2024. Everybody just seemed uncharacteristically slow. Now, the track had been rubbered in. You've got a couple of race time on there. But at the same time, the traction for the new Pirelli tires, especially in Bahrain for the hot weather races, Pirelli needs to go back to the drawing board. They've absolutely messed up something. Too much air in the tires, not enough air in the tires. They fixed the compounds too much. They've tweaked it too many times, whatever it is. But the durability is there, which is great. But if you don't have traction, what's the point of having durability? You're just going to get cars that have slower track times, more dangerous driving, especially when you're going around corners in a group. So something needs to get fixed sooner rather than later. The name of the game for Q3, because of the traction control or lack thereof, like even Lando Norris had no traction. Oscar Piastri, he had the fastest time, but I think the only reason why he had the fastest time is because he didn't need to and didn't try to put the car at the absolute razor's edge during qualifying. He knew what he needed to do. He knew the limitations of the car, and he understood the limitations of the car with the least amount of traction that they had on this track. But still, even he had hard times with traction, lots, and I mean a lot of track limit violations. Again, both Red Bulls, it came down to like 4 minutes left in qualifying. They still had no track time. Antonelli got track time taken away as well. I think at one point, probably half of the top 10 guys had track times at some point taken away from them because of the traction, because of the turns, and because they were just not dialed in nearly as much as they should have been. Top 10 in Q3, we're going to go from the bottom to the top. Starting at 10, Yuki Tsunoda, 9, Lewis Hamilton, 8th, Carlos Sainz, 7th, Max Verstappen. Yeah, 7th spot for Max. 6th, Lando Norris. Again, Surprising, surprising area where these guys qualified. They're always in the top five. It's just not this time. Pierre Gasly keeping the momentum going. He's in fifth. Antonelli in fourth. Leclerc in third. George Russell in second. Oscar Piastri takes provisional pole. Little surprising as well. Lewis Hamilton in ninth spot. He, you know, has his moments in the Ferrari of absolutely brilliance, and then he has his moments, as is to be expected, with a brand new driver. Well, not a brand new driver, brand new car with this driver, brand new teams. He's still getting things sorted out, but you see him get progressively faster and a lot more confidence. And I think it's because he's ditched the Mercedes cornrows, and now he's going to a more free-flowing Ferrari hairdo. And so now with all the qualifying out of the way, that can only mean one more thing. Kind of the whole reason anybody ever listens to this podcast, it's the breakdown of the Bahrain Grand Prix. It is round four. We're talking 57 laps, a grand total of 5.47 kilometers per lap. Top speed, 210 miles per hour, 15 turns. And right off the bat, the drama starts. It's going to be one of those races. Both George Russell and Antonelli both get dropped one place from qualifying. George gets dropped down to third. Leclerc gets bumped up to second. Antonelli gets bumped down to fifth. Gasly gets bumped up to fourth. And that is how the race is going to start. Beautiful, beautiful weather for the Bahrain Grand Prix. It is kind of an afternoon race, early evening. It's not quite dark enough when they come out there. The floodlights aren't on, but it's a much cooler race, which means hopefully, there'll be more traction. By the time everybody gets lined up, it's five lights and away we go. And right off the bat, the man with the fastest track time, the man with the fastest qualifying, absolutely took off like a bat out of hell. And I'll break it down for you right now. Spoiler alert, nobody caught him at all. Oscar Piastri, fantastic start right off the start. Really, really fast. Really, really quite aggressive. He had to be aggressive just to slow down Leclerc and to fight off George Russell. Both of these guys knew what they needed to do. George Russell is pissy because he got that one place penalty. He wanted to make it up. Piastri only realistically had about four turns worth of work to do, and then he was done. He was off to the races. By the time he was done, Oscar Piastri was probably, I don't know, about 15 seconds ahead of his closest competitor by the time the race was done. It was absolutely one of those Red Bull-esque out of, no, not quite out of nowhere, totally expected to do, and kind of a boring race as it came to be for who's winning. Is it going to be exciting? It kind of turned out, yeah, it kind of really wasn't, not for at least for the first place. George Russell coming out of the gates, like I said, very, very aggressive. He didn't like being penalized. He did it to himself, but he also made it up for it. George Russell is turning into one of those drivers, and I hate to say this because I don't like him, but it's still a fourth. You know, it's still the fourth race. He's got plenty of time to mess his own season up. He's turning into one of those drivers that's being very, very reliable. He's getting overly aggressive when he needs to be, and yet he's not getting himself into trouble quite yet. He's getting very aggressive on the corners. I think he's learned from last season and the season before. If you're going to go into the corners with these guys, especially Max, and especially with any of the McLarens or any of the Ferraris, these guys have nothing to lose and everything to prove. He has to be more aggressive. He has to look out for the car and for himself. It's turning out to be, you know, it's turning out to be a really good strategy for him thus far. Now, later in the season, when everybody kind of remembers how each other drives, we'll see if the strategy is still adaptable. Lando Norris up three spots by the fourth turn. Absolutely flying. It's kind of like he got off to the right start right out of the bat. It's kind of like he just 100% anticipated when the lights were going out. It's kind of almost like he cheated a little bit. Oh, wait, he did. 5-second penalty for Lando Norris right out of the gate. False start and or starting outside of his pit box, depending on how you want to look at it. When you looked at the replays, assumption he gets in his pit box, but when he puts it into neutral, his car does roll forward when he takes his foot off the throttle. That sets off the sensors. Automatic 5-second penalty. He does serve this right off the start, like the first pit stop. I think it was within 14 laps. He does easily make those spots up. He did very, very well to regroup. After qualifying, he was in his head a lot. He has a lot of he's one of those drivers that when you don't have a really good day or when you don't have as good of a day as you think you should have, there's very much a lot of self-doubt that creeps into Lando Norris's mind. This was one of those qualifying times, so he needs to put this in the back of his mind. He's got a five-second penalty. He can go either one of two ways. He can absolutely crash and burn in this race, be mad at himself, be all down in the dumps, and not even finish in the top 10 or barely finish in the top 10, or he can pull up his big boy orange pants and he can be the professional driver that he is. And he chose, in my opinion, the right option. He chose to be the big boy. He decided to get it out of his mind. Very clean pit stop from McLaren, very fast once the 5 second penalty was up. And he just absolutely nailed the rest of the race. Just absolutely dominated, essentially from start to finish in his own respective way. Someone who didn't have a good start at all, and I mean at freaking all, both Max Verstappen and Liam Lawson. I don't know what's going on with Red Bull this weekend. They did not have a good start. They didn't have a good race. They didn't have, God, what else didn't they do? They didn't have good pit stops. They had malfunctions in the pit stops, which we'll talk about in a second. It was just one of those weekends, one of those races, qualifying, whole nine yards, that you just, if you could fast forward through life just to get it over with, it would be one of those weekends where Red Bull would just sit in their garage, just hit fast forward, take whatever results will happen, and just move the fuck on. It was definitely not, it was a very uncharacteristic weekend for Red Bull. And it's not for a lack of trying. These guys are absolutely trying their damnedest to be as fast as they possibly can be. Don't forget, Max has got a ton of pressure that he wants to repeat again as world champion. But at this rate, he will be lucky if he finishes in the top five. Liam Lawson will be lucky if he gets points in the next 15 races, the way things are going for them, at least this weekend. Let's talk more about those pit stops. And this happened to both Yuki Tsunoda and Max Verstappen. So when you go into a pit stop, for those of you who don't know, there used to be a time where you'd get your tires flipped, and there was one dude that would hold a sign. One sign would have a big red X, one sign would have a green arrow. Okay? When the red X is up, you don't go. When the green arrow shows, you go. Like that was as simple as it was. One dude's job, flip a pole, show a sign. That's all it was. Super effective. Then they went to more automated technology that seemed to work for a little bit better. And now we've come to the higher end of the technology where a dude sits there, instead of flipping a pole, he presses a button. Okay, one, two, three, you go. That engineer tells the racer you're done. You press the button, a light flashes, and then you go. And that works all well and fine and dandy when it actually works. In this case, for Max and for Yuki Tsunoda, both of their pit stops were slower than they absolutely 100% needed to be. They had two pit stops with faulty lights, and then one pit stop for Max Verstappen where the front right tire just would not come off. And once you see the engineer try about two times, anybody who watches Formula One will automatically think back to, oh, is this another Valtteri Bottas situation where they couldn't get the car or the tire off of Valtteri Bottas's car, and it took them 4.5 days to get the car off. They called it the world's longest pit stop, jokingly. It was just a horrible pit stop weekend for Red Bull in general. At some point in the race, I don't remember what lap it was. I think it was about 30 something on the second pit stop. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but Max Verstappen came out for his second pit stop and he was last 100%. It was the longest time since any of us have seen this. Max Verstappen after the last pit stop was dead last. Nobody crashed, nobody was disqualified, no one didn't finish the race at that point. He was dead last because of the pit stop, not because of the strategy, because of the pit stop and the wear on the tires from the Red Bull, which is always an issue in warmer climates. Red Bull just absolutely chews through their tires like they're going out of style. It's a simple task for Red Bull from here on out. Fix your pit stops. Okay, granted, it was a technology, if something didn't work, okay, that's fine. But you have to have faster pit stops. You have to work on the aerodynamic drag on this car. There's no way they're going to retain any type of championship if they keep chewing through these tires like Red Bull is now. They're not going to have any tires left by the end of the season. At this point, the hotter the races get, I would not be surprised with how bad they chew through these tires. They're going to have a blowout at some point. I'm going to say it's either going to be Miami, or it's going to be somewhere like Abu Dhabi, or it's going to be COTA in Austin, Texas. It's bound to happen at this point. Those arguably are the hottest tracks left this season. If it's going to happen, it's going to be one of those three races. They absolutely have to get this figured out. You know who's got something figured out? Lewis Hamilton. He did not have a fantastic qualifying. Yeah, he was in the top 10. But to see Lewis Hamilton drive this weekend, it was the Hamilton that everybody knows, trusts, loves. And he's that type of driver this weekend that you would definitely put in any kind of car for any kind of team, and you would expect a legacy, and he would deliver a legacy driving for you. Long drives, nice and fast down the straightaway. This car was on rails around the corners, super confident in the car, and there was no bitching back and forth between him and his engineer. It was the first weekend where they were on the same strategy from start to finish. There was no sarcasm, there was no questioning. It was just, we're a team, we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And you know what? He finishes in the top five. He accomplished what he needed to do. There was no way he was going to win this race against the McLarens. Nobody was. He's just, Ferrari's not fast enough to beat the McLarens yet. But what McLaren is, or what Ferrari is doing with Hamilton, is they're building that momentum. It's the fourth race in the season, and he's already got his swag back. His qualifying definitely could be better, but that's going to come with time. 24 races, the 24 race stretch, four races down, 20 to go. You got plenty of time for the seven-time world champion to definitely make some inroads for Ferrari. Only kind of slowdown, lap 32. We're going to fast forward. No crash, nothing like that. There was some debris on the track from a little bit of a collision. Turns out it was essentially the side pod from Carlos Sainz's car. Lap 47, he ends up getting a DNF. He could not finish the race. It went from a small little piece of debris to all of a sudden it just ripped out like probably half of his side pod on his right-hand side. Obviously, you cannot finish the race like that. It's unsafe. Unsafe for the drivers, unsafe for the driver of the car, unsafe for the marshals, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just a general safety rule, which leads me into the next thing. General safety rules. All right. When you have a defect on your car, it's going to be a little side piece. When you get something on your car that doesn't work, you can get a warning from the officials going, hey, you have to go in, you have to replace whatever. Your tires, your front wing, you know, that kind of stuff. It has to be a safety car. Now, in my opinion, this should also include mechanical malfunctions. Now, the only reason why I say this is because George Russell's DRS during the race was having an open and closing malfunction, right? So he was losing transmission during the race, so they didn't know where he was, track time, all that kind of stuff. So obviously there's a transponder issue, which led to a little bit more mechanical and electrical issues where his DRS would just open and close whenever it felt like it. He had to open it manually, which to me is a massive, massive, massive safety issue. If the DRS decides to open and close whenever it wants, not only is it not so much in the safety area, but more often it's affecting George's race. But what happens when his DRS doesn't close? He's carrying too much speed and he drives into the wall God forbid this happens. Trust me, I do not want this to happen. But being devil's advocate, what if he just drives too fast, DRS doesn't close, and he carries too much speed, hits the wall, and he hurts a marshal, hurts himself, hurts a fan because the DRS was faulty? Why didn't they black flag his car? Why didn't they make him not finish because of a safety feature in his car? George Russell goes on to get on a podium, which is great, which is fine. Congratulations. I don't think he should have been able to get that position because the stewards looked after it and they're like, oh, it's not that big of a major. It's not that big of a safety feature. The fuck it's not. It's your DRS. It adds 20 kilometers to your top speed anyways. Like, you're hauling ass. And with the lack of traction they had on this race this weekend on this track, that's definitely a safety feature if I ever heard one. They should have black flagged his car. They should have disqualified him from that just due to safety reasons. Hell, last week they DQ'd
Leclerc and Hamilton and somebody else who's totally, I forget right off the top of my head, due to fucking weight issues. And one guy, Lewis Hamilton, because he had too much of his skid plate off. And you're not going to disqualify George Russell and tell him to stop because his DRS decides to open whenever it wants, and that's not a safety issue? Come on, FIA, you can do a lot better than that. One thing is for sure, this race was 100% the total opposite of Japan last week. There was actually people passing each other. It was actually a very interesting race. It was a really good race to watch. Definitely one that I will watch again in the offseason, just purely for entertainment factor and purely for just the driving strategy. It was amazing to watch. It was a really fun race. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's get back into the standing. Let's get to the top 10. This is how the race finished, and we're going to go through it from there. 10 to 1. Sorry about that. Ollie Bearman picking up points. Yuki Tsunoda in 9th. Esteban Ocon in 8th. Pierre Gasly in 7th. Max Verstappen in 6th. Ends up passing Pierre Gasly literally last lap, second to last corner, just blows right by him. Ends up getting an extra spot. Lewis Hamilton in 5th. Leclerc in 4th. Lando Norris fights all the way back. It's 3rd spot. George Russell gets 2nd. And Oscar Piastri with a 15-second lead ends up in 1st place at the Bahrain Grand Prix. Let's go through the driver standings quickly. Lando Norris is in 1st with 77 points. Oscar Piastri is in 2nd with 74 points. Max Verstappen's in 3rd with 69 points. Perfect number. George Russell is in 4th with 63 points. Leclerc is in 5th with 32 points. Antonelli's in 6th with 30 points. Hamilton's in 7th with 25. Alex Albon is in 8th with 18 points. Esteban Ocon's in 9th with 19 points. And somehow Lance Stroll is in 10th spot with 10 points. Let's get into the Constructors' Championship points. McLaren's in 1st with 151 points. Mercedes is in 2nd with 93. Red Bull's in 3rd with 71. Ferrari's in 4th with 57. Haas is in 5th with 20. Williams is in 6th with 19. Aston Martin's in 7th with 10 points. Racing Bulls is in 8th with 7 points. Alpine is in 9th with 6 points. And Kicksalba is also in 10th with 6 points. I think the Constructors' Championships from here on out, I think it's going to be a lot closer from 4th to 10th, just because I still expect the top three teams to just absolutely dominate for the rest of the season. Rookie standings, Antonelli is still in 1st with 30 points, followed by Ollie Bearman in 2nd with 6 points. Isaac Hadjar is in 3rd with 4 points. And Lawson, Doohan, and Bortoleto are all tied for 4th, essentially with 0 points. Now, at some point, I do believe that all the rookies will get points. It's just going to be a matter of time. Story of the race. Oh, where do we start? Penalties, penalties, and more penalties. Liam Lawson, 15 seconds total of penalties. Jack Doohan, 5 seconds. Lando Norris, 5 seconds. Nico Hülkenberg ends up getting disqualified for skid plate violation again. Another team with a skid plate violation. I know these guys want to go fast, but you can't go too fast. You can't go too low, or you end up getting total disqualification. I do think that this was the exception rather than a rule when it comes to penalties. Now, Liam Lawson absolutely had a horrible, horrible day. I can only make so many excuses for him at this point. The traction was low. He's a little frustrated with the car, a little bit frustrated with his driving. He still wants a ton of stuff to prove to himself. So I think, expect Lawson to pay attention at least a lot more for the rest of the season. I don't foresee him getting a whole bunch more penalties just because he feels like he's got something to prove still. Lando Norris, just a lack of judgment. 5-second penalty for just that false start. Just stupid. Stupid, 100%. Hülkenberg, he didn't do anything wrong. His team set his car too low. Skid plate violation, disqualification. Like, what the hell? These teams, I think, at this point, are going to be learning a lot faster. They're going to start paying a lot more attention that these disqualifications, yeah, you want to go fast, but you want your team to actually finish the race? You actually want to get points for their efforts? Stop putting the car so low. These guys will start getting disqualified. It's kind of that simple. With that, folks, that is the Bahrain Grand Prix wrap-up. All of the disqualifications, all of the penalties, all of the hubbub, and all of the disappointments, all there right in front of you. Well, when is the next race, you're asking? Well, it is the final race of this triple header. We are in Saudi Arabia. Again, it is not super late for us in North America to watch. Thank God I'm enjoying it while I can. And it is not a sprint weekend. So let's get right into it. Pre-race, 12:30 at night on Thursday. Full practice one is at 7:30 Friday, our time. Second full practice is 11 o'clock in the morning, again, our time on Friday. Moving to Saturday, full practice three is at 7:30 in the morning. Qualifying for the race, 11 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. Cannot go wrong with that. Take the dog for a walk, make yourself some breakfast, sit down on the couch with the kids, and watch a very, very entertaining qualifying. I pretty much guarantee it. Race day Sunday pre-race is at 10 o'clock again in the morning. Race day, 11 a.m. It's going to be a fantastic race. The Saudi Arabian Grand Prix never, ever, ever disappoints. Again, it's going to be another very hot race. Has Pirelli learned from their mistakes in Bahrain? Are they going to give the drivers better tires with better traction? Are they going to get faster? Can Red Bull pull their heads out of their asses and do a proper weekend? And for the love of God, Aston Martin, if you're listening to this, please give Fernando Alonso a car that he can actually get points in. I would like to send out a massive thank you to everybody out there from the bottom of our hearts here at F101. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be having as much fun as I am now, whether sometimes the podcast makes sense or not. As thank you to everybody out there for listening to us over these years. And on top of that, kind of like the wheels are falling off of this one right now, I would like to thank everybody again out there for listening. And until next time, keep those wheels spinning and that engine revving. We'll talk to you next weekend.